The cemetery, and we decorated the graves. That's why Decoration Day, decorate the graves, and especially the graves of the fallen heroes of the Great War. It was the Great War then, not World War One. You can't have World War One till you have World War Two. So this was the Great War, and it was the war to end all wars. And there were those who were there who had lost loved ones in that war. Bill Jarman and Irving Wheatley were trumpet players. And in that, they would go, one would be at the graveside in the New Grave Cemetery, and the other one would be off in Parsons Mill, way back, away from there, and he would be the echo with the trumpet. Dun, dun, dun. Da, da, da. It's interesting. It was a great thing. Every year we did that. And then the editors of this the newspaper, his wife would say, "In Flanders Field, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row," talking about World War One, Great War. So what I'm saying to you is that this is a long way back, and it talks about people who have given their lives. And that's what today is. People have given their lives. I told Melanie this morning, I think I'll ask you, for anyone who has given your life for the war, for the country, stand up. Won't be any of those. They're not here. Others have risked their lives, Mr. Fred especially, I think, in World War II. But what I'm saying is that there were many who went through the war. Many have served, many have died, so that we could have this day and all the days that go with it with our country. And we have a God who has given us this. And he's given us a revelation in chapter 13 of Romans to help us understand something about our government. First, I want you to see that God has given us many means to govern mankind. He's given the church. The church is one of God's means to govern people. The church. And then there's the family. And the family is a very important part. Mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers have their part in raising children who are loyal to their country. And this... it's always the important thing for parents to raise their children in this way. You honor your country. You do things that are expected of you by your country. So very often I hear the idea that churches will say, we'll train your children and you help us. No, 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 no. You train your children and we'll help you. That's the idea, because parents are very important. Then there are the elements of nature. God, you know, if you read the Bible very far, you find that God brought in the elements of nature to, especially famine and pestilence and so forth. Those are the things that God uses to mold government. And then there's the human government itself. And we won't talk about that human government today and our responsibility to it. He says in verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities," and the believer's relation to the human government is much a part of the divine revelation as the relationship to the leaders of the church. In other words, you say, oh, we're in the church and we ought to be following the leaders of the church. Fine. And we ought to be good leaders for you to do that. But there's also the relationship between us and God and the human human government. And that is a very important point for us to see. Then the responsibilities of the national leaders starts off in verse 1. They are appointed by God. There's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Aha, you didn't know that. Yes, you did. But the God appoints leaders. The leaders in church and in countries belong to God, and God moves them. God gets, brings them up. God sets them up as kings. Daniel 2, verses 20 and 21. Blessed be the name of God forever. He removes kings. He raises up kings. He does that. They are appointed by God. And they are approved by God, verse 2 says. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. He uses even evil kings to do his will. You know that he said, he called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. Nebuchadnezzar was a servant of God. Why, he's the one who destroyed Jerusalem in 586. But he is the one whom God calls my servant. He carried Israel to captivity. See, Israel had not observed the law of the annual rest, annual Sabbath for the land. Did you know that? They could till the land for 6 years, and then the seventh year, the land was to rest. And sorry about that. And the land, they hadn't done this for 490 years. They had not let the land rest. So what did God say? I'm going to take you off that land. I'm going to give that land rest for 70 years. They were in 70-year captivity for that reason. They had not let the land rest. So took them off for that 70-year period. And when that ended, he wanted them back there. Comes another servant of God that you wouldn't think, Cyrus. Cyrus, he conquered Babylon, and he was then in charge of that land where the captives were. And he allowed and even assisted the people of Israel to come back to the land. Well, why do that? Well, they were God's people. They had served their 70 years, and now they're back in the land thanks to my servant, the anointed one, Cyrus. So he brought them back. Well, why do that? Well, there had to be a nation Israel. For Messiah to be born in Bethlehem, there has to be a nation Israel. There had to be a temple for Jesus to come and announce himself, present himself as the Messiah, as the King. There had to be a temple for Jesus to enter. There had to be a city for Jesus to suffer outside the gate. So all of that had to be done, and it was done through one of God's chosen servants, his anointed, no less. So they were God's people. God anoints them. Now, they are responsible to God. And then there's the responsibilities of government to people. They are responsible for national safety. Now, they're there to protect communities. And they do that by resisting the outlaws. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. The government keeps them from committing crime. It's by crime prevention, laws. Here are the laws. Keep the laws. Otherwise, you're in trouble. So they resist the outlaws, and they recognize outstanding members of the community. He says, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good. You have the praise from the same. For in God's, as God's minister, they're God's minister to you for good. Now, I saw something, and I haven't even told Melanie. She saw it, but I haven't applied it to her yet. I was over at Boca Beach, where we go often. Mel loves to sit and watch the waves come in. We They have a nice place to sit there under cover. And so we watched there. But I was walking by one of the trash cans one day, and I saw a cup and a lid, and I thought, oh, that's bad. So I do this all the time. I picked it up, put it in the trash. And then I heard somebody behind me say, what are you doing throwing that in the trash? No, why are you throwing that on the ground? I'd rather, he's talking to somebody else. Talked to one guy out there, he lived there on the beach. And he was had a bicycle over here and a trailer with it and all stuffed with junk. And the cop was telling him, you shouldn't do that. Well, that's one thing. That's the one side of it, telling people what you should not do. And then he turned to me and said, and thank you for picking it up, sir. If you want to do good, you can be commended by the officials, by the government. And then he says that, see, that's positive reinforcement. You ever hear about that? That's it. You tell people, thank people for what they do. Don't do it again. I'll do it too. So they protect the community. But they also punish criminals. But if you do evil, he says, don't do it. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister. Do you ever think of that? He's God's minister. The government and every part of the government is the minister of God. Wow. Friend heard about a man who, a pastor, who got stopped by the police. And he said, oh, thank you. You're a minister of God. I'm a minister of God, and so are you. And he goes, what? Yeah, that's what they're a minister of God. Those who serve God. Well, he's a minister of God. And he's there to avenge, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. See, God's minister, he doesn't preach. He prosecutes. He gets God's job done. And if prevention doesn't work, then he punishes. That's why he does it. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Whether you ever get caught or not, that stop sign right out here. I watch sometimes and people, and then sometimes a police car comes sitting in the parking lot. Well, they stop. Then they move. But whether anybody's watching or not, the stop sign says stop, stop. It's not a suggestion. It's a real thing. Why? Because of conscience. If it says stop, it's a government law. God puts the government law in there. God says do it, do it. So he's have to obey God's ministers. So question, what if the civil law goes directly opposite of God's law? What would you do then? Well, I have a case in point. Acts chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. They picked up Peter and John, put them in prison, and then because they were preaching the word, telling people about Jesus, and then they brought them out in front of the magistrates, and they said, did we not strictly command that you not teach in this name? And you know Peter's answer. What did Jesus told them to do? Go teach in my name. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when this comes to the place where I have to either serve man, even though he's God's servant, or God, I'll serve God. So we are due to go contrary to that. But we do it because it's God's law, but we disobey the civil law respectfully. We still are respectful. I'm sorry, I have to obey God rather than men. That's it. So they're giving us national safety. There's also the national solvency. Verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, again, attending continually to this very thing. So they have certain responsibilities of the leaders, and then there are certain rights of these leaders. Verse 7. The monetary support. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. There's a this word means the yearly head tax on persons and real estate. And you have to pay that. It takes money to run a government. You can't do that for nothing. So you pay your bills. Then I hear people say, well, they'd use my money for sinful things. They can't do that. I'm not going to give my money. No, you give your money. They're responsible. In a democracy, there's a way to take care of this. Wonder what that is.
Vote.
Exactly. Vote. Hey, somebody spoke something in my church. That's great. Somebody's listening. Yeah. Ballot box. Go to the ballot box and you vote your conscience. You ask God who should be voted in, and you vote your conscience. See, if the government's broke, you got to fix it. And the way to fix it is by God. And if you don't, well, people get the kind of government they deserve by sitting and doing nothing. See, sometimes God decides to change it himself. He brings nation against nation. He does that. He brings wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence and depressions and disasters. And they're all woven into the fabric of history. And God will do that too. But it's not all God's fault. Not his job. My job to do what I can. And I should be out there. And even pushing for. Find out who's the right one and help. Do what we can. And see, heaven rules in the affairs of men. And we are a part of that heaven. That's Daniel 4:26. So, taxes. Pay your taxes. And then custom to whom custom is due. Now, custom was an indirect law, like our sales tax. Didn't come directly to the government. You pay it here and it goes up there. But you pay it because that's part of it. See, both of these taxes were collected by publicans. That's not Republicans, just by publicans. And they often line their pockets with money they got by fraud. They were charged. The publican would have a certain area, and in that area he had to bring so much tax to Rome. And they said, you can charge whatever you want, but we get this much money. And so sometimes they would say, hey, you owe this and this, and they take Roman soldiers along with them to make you pay it. So if they got extra, it didn't matter to them. And many of them, and they were hated. These publicans were hated. So what they're saying is they took you by fraud. Zacchaeus, remember him? In Luke 19, 1-10, you see all the things that he said. I'll pay double, he's going to give all kinds of things away when the Lord got hold of him. So what I'm saying is pay the custom to whom custom is due. And then that's the monetary support, but then there's also the moral support. Fear bad leaders. Fear to whom fear is due. And respect for these God-appointed leaders for the sake of their office. I heard about way back when I was in the Navy, the story went around about they were having African American officers, and there were a lot of those rednecks who didn't want to support, wouldn't want to salute an officer. And one of these black officers met a guy, and the guy didn't salute him. He said, you didn't salute me. And the guy looked at him sheepishly and said, I'll tell you what. He took his hat off and put it on a fire hydrant. Said, now, salute. That wasn't hurt, did it? That wasn't bad. What you're doing is saluting the rank. My hat does the job. So he made a good point, I think. And that we are to give respect for these God-appointed leaders for the sake of the office. Also, for what he's able to do to you. So you do it because God appointed him, and you do it because of what he might do to you. He has the reason to do it and the ability. And then he says, honor good leaders. Honor to whom honor is due. A payment made by the people of one nation to another was used this way sometimes, with the implication that we are submissive to you. They'd come in and they'd conquer the country, and then they would say, "Now you pay us. We won't wreck everything. We won't run you into the ground. But you just pay us for every year for this kind of honor." Well, that's what he was saying. Pay it to whom honor is due. Now, it seems to me that Christians ought to be the best citizens of any country, regardless of the type of government they have. Why? Well, because God said so. You do what God says. And so it doesn't mean that they just give up to oppression, no. They have a responsibility to oppose evil. And when evil is removable, remove it according to the Word of God. But respect them as God's ministers. They should remove evil depending on God, the God of our fathers, to head it up and to power it and to move them toward the choice of the next ruler. Do that if you can. And that brings me back to our country. Our forefathers did just that in the Revolutionary War. They honored God. God honored their dedication. And in the war, they won that. They won their freedom and established a God-honoring constitution. Well, and the many wars since then have been fought to defend this great country that God has given us. I mentioned World War I. That was called the war to end all wars. And it was a war for liberty, for freedom. And we've fought many since then. And many have died. And many have risked their lives. And others have given their lives. But God bless them. God bless all who this day have a memory floating down to us from beyond, saying, we gave our all. You give yours all. God bless them, and God bless America. Lord, we thank you that your word gives us instruction. It doesn't say, if you want to, it says, do it. It's a command, not a suggestion. We pray that you will help us to see this. Thank God for the country. Thank God for those who gave their lives for our country. But also thanking God and doing all that is required of us to the end that you will be glorified and we will be honored to serve you. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.